If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Hi, everyone. It's Rachel Yucatel from the Misunderstood podcast, and I wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, Holistic Goddess. Holistic Goddess is a one-stop shop for all your holistic health needs. They offer a wide range of products from castor oil packs and collagen to natural bug spray. They do the hard work for us, checking ingredients and investigating where each product is made so you can focus on finding what works for you. Holistic Goddess brings on recognized brands weekly, often focusing on women-owned brands in North America. And they personally try all the products before adding them to the store. It's always exciting to see what new products they'll feature next. If you're looking for reliable health solutions that keep the unique needs of women in mind and cater to all ages and stages, definitely check out Holistic Goddess. And for 15% off, use code UNDERSTOOD. Go to www.holisticgoddess.com and again, use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off. Guys, welcome back to Misunderstood. I have Sarah Fraser from The Sarah Fraser Show. We are live on Rumble right now. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Rachel. How are you?
I am great. I'm so excited for today's episode. Do you want to explain to people the exciting new news we have?
Yes, we have teamed up. We are giving you a pair of Eagles tickets to go to Las Vegas in the, oh my God, I always say it wrong. What is it called?
What's the dome? I call it the stratosphere. It's the sphere.
The sphere. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Unbelievable experience. We're going to tell you at the end of the show how you can win this exclusive experience, but two tickets, you, your love, your best friend, whoever you want to bring to Vegas.
And we will be announcing the winner Friday, September 6th, live on our Rumble show. So you got to tune in, but at the end of the show, we will tell you details about how to enter. We're so excited. We hope you're excited. So we'll talk more about it then. Okay, so last night, before we start the show, I just want to say that last night I saw the final screening or the first screening, whatever it is, of It Ends With Us with Blake Lively. Have you heard about this movie?
I have. And Colleen Hoover is the author of these books, right? Which I've never read any of these books.
I've never read them either. Yeah, but people say they're great.
They say they're amazing. They're like mysteries, sort of mysteries, psychological thrillers, a little true crime, all in one.
Yeah. So this one was very interesting, and I read a lot about it beforehand. Blake Lively said she had a really hard time kind of getting into this part because it was very difficult and hard for her. It was about domestic violence. It's about
a woman who is trying to get away from what she went through witnessing her parents and their tumultuous relationship, and then how she gets into her current relationship. But it really, it's very interesting because it, you know, it romanticizes what domestic violence is a little bit. It does show you how you could really fall in love with somebody and they have so many great qualities and how it could cross a line. And then you kind of, you don't want to see those things. And when you finally see them, it's about making that decision to sever the lines or not. And the guys in this movie, the two choices that she makes of her love interests, you know, I have an issue with finding chemistry with people. They did such an exquisite job on their casting. I was shocked. Both guys are so different. So you fall in love with both guys. So it's very difficult for you as a viewer to know if she should leave or not. And then there's a clear decision to be made. Anyways, you should see it. Everyone should see it. You know, that's my two cents on the movie.
All right. Okay. Well, then I'm putting it on my list. But yeah. Yeah. Yes. I've heard that criticism of the book that it sort of romanticizes domestic violence. But I'm sure, I don't know about you, but I've had a couple girlfriends. I mean, I have one. She's still with him. And you know, he hit her and then they like worked through it and they're right. Still together. I don't know. It's
It's a topic for another time. It's definitely a hard topic to understand, to get into. And there's, you know, there's not one story. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of nuances in it. All right. So let's get into the hot topics in the news right now. There's a lot of things that just came out overnight. So we're really excited to get into them. There's a $50 million wrongful death lawsuit filed over the Titan sub implosion. You remember how terrible that was last year?
Yes, they were headed down to the Titanic in this rinkety-dinkety, you know, billionaires had built this Titanic sub. The guy that was leading it apparently had ignored several different engineers who had taken a look at it and said, there's no way this can sustain the pressure. And do you remember, Rachel, the big thing about it? This was like controlled by a remote control that you'd use for like a video game player. Did you see that?
It was crazy. And I'll tell you something, for the 4 or 5 days that they were missing, I couldn't sleep at night. Like I would wake up at like 12, 1, 2, 3 in the morning and I would check my phone to see if they were found. And I like had a hard time sitting in like being happy or anything because I was thinking, what are they doing? How are they going to the bathroom? Are they cold? Like I was thinking about all these things, trying to imagine what they were going through because I couldn't imagine that they were actually dead. And then I can't tell you how many times I Googled like, what does implosion mean? And what does that mean? What happens to the body when you implode as opposed to explode? The whole thing was so terrifying and frightening. You know, in the lawsuit, they allege that the crew, the people on the ship, all knew of their impending death and they suffered greatly. The whole thing is
they did. Wait. I thought the same thing too. I thought it just imploded. Like they died instantly. They didn't even know, like they probably heard some noises.
Yes.
And then the whole thing just exploded with gas. But wait, they knew?
Apparently, 90 minutes into the voyage, they dropped the whatever they have to drop to abort the mission. It did not work. They kept going down, and they allege in the documents that they knew of that they were going to die. They knew it was over, so they were hearing very loud cracks. They were explaining what logically would have happened to them, but they would have been aware that there was no way out and what was going to happen. They kept going down. So the whole thing is terrible. And it must have been cold. All their the power went out apparently, so they couldn't see. I mean, it must have been terrible. I can't imagine. And as a family member, thinking of what they went through, I mean, you would suffer for the rest of your life, I think.
Well, I don't think I would have gone anyway. Yeah. From what you hear, I mean, this lawsuit will be interesting, right? Because from what we've read, now that doesn't always mean that it's accurate, but from what we read, that this guy who led the expedition, you know, had a long history of like even trying to find people to buy into this, to go down there because, you know, it took a very long time for it to be built and then people had backed out. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like there were a lot of warning signs leading up to it. And I think just even the science alone, right? It's like, they can't send anybody down there in a craft because it's too deep. That's why they end up sending down like a little camera machine on its own, right? Isn't that the whole thing?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing, listen, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm sure they will settle. I'm sure they will get some money out of it. The whole thing is terrible. If that company even has money, I don't know what the situation is. Mm-hmm. And the person that created it or was the CEO or the owner was killed also.
Yeah, right.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who's paying that money out. Okay. Taylor Swift, she's canceled all three concerts this weekend in Austria. Three people are in custody this morning. I think they're charging two. The third, they're questioning right now. They found ISIS propaganda, explosives, detonators, cash, all in these guys' houses. Super scary. I've been to the Taylor Swift concert. It's packed to the brim, sometimes 85,000 people in one SoFi. Place.
Yes.
I mean,
you went to Spain, right? You saw her in Spain. I saw her here at SoFi.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, what about these people that have flown all the way to Vienna? Because that's what we did. We flew to Spain because the ticket prices are so much better. I spoke to my daughter this morning and she said that she felt so bad for the people that were so excited. She said she has been seeing on TikTok kids crying their eyes out about the fact that they can't go, that they're in Vienna right now and they can't go to Taylor Swift. But, you know, obviously safety first. And you know, in 2019, she did an interview with Elle, and she was quoted saying that she was very scared to go on tour after the shooting at the concert in Las Vegas and Manchester. And she was scared to keep 3 million people safe on a tour. So, I mean, there is, you know, I think she's fully aware of it, obviously wants to be safe first. But I wonder how, you know, what will come of this. She does go on tour. My daughter told me these facts, that she goes to London next on August 15th through the 20th, something like that. And then her next concert soon after is not until October, I think, back here in Miami. But it'll be interesting to see, because ISIS is not a group that just stops, you know, when some 19-year-old gets caught. So if that's the plan, that's the plan, right? I'm wondering what will happen.
I know. Well, thank God. Great detective work, you know, I guess like from European side to the American side, like amazing. You know, they obviously had ears and eyes everywhere and caught these guys. I think she's so smart to take a break. Look, it's scary. I can't imagine. Taylor Swift is even more amazing when you see the level of maturity for like a 32-year-old and what her whole team has to handle. And I mean, she's a huge terrorist target and is going to remain to be. And these guys apparently wanted to target. It's become a thing. I didn't notice this at SoFi, but I guess it's become a thing where people come and stand outside the concert. Yeah. They camp out there so they can hear the songs without, of course, paying the crazy ticket price. So these guys were going to target them. I mean, one guy was, I mean, I would think you're instantly flagged in most countries when you're starting to Google how to make a bomb or learn, right, which is what one of these kids was doing. I don't know.
Yeah, look, you're right. Great investigative work. That's phenomenal that they caught this ahead of time.
Hello. That's where our CIA and all, I'm sure there's even a level we don't even know about, but good for them. Thank God. And I think, you know, the next couple of years here in the United States with the Summer Olympics coming to Los Angeles in the next 4 years. And then on top of that, I know we have a huge soccer tournament. Is it, I don't know. My husband tells me all about this, but anyway, there's some big soccer games that are coming here. I mean, they're going to have their work cut out for them. We know that, you know, they're still looking to have a terrorist attack against us. And it's been since September 11th, really. You know, they thwarted some other ones and there's been some small ones, but for the grace of God.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up September 11th because I was thinking as you were talking, you know, we didn't see, and I hate to use this word, but the creativity, right? The idea behind send a plane into one of the busiest buildings ever on a morning, you know, and then all the other places. So I think that we are going to have to start being more aware. I mean, we have football season coming back with everyone in all these stadiums. Football has never been more popular, especially since the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce combination. And I mean, I think it'll be very interesting to see if ticket sales go down because people are more nervous about safety, which we're going to get into ticket sales in a minute, but or if they're just going to have to beef up security in all these places.
I don't know. Look, I'm all for whatever security they need to do. Like, yeah. I think you're going to get to the point, right? Some of these huge high profile events, they're going to tell you be there. It's like when you go to the airport, they tell you to be there 2 hours early. Now, most of the time you don't need to, but every once in a while, right? They've got the dogs out. They've got this, they've got that, you know, they're pulling people out of lines. They're really doing stuff. So I wonder if that's where it's headed, right? They're going to say, show up 2 hours early, you know, because we're going to go really one by one and have, you know, big parameters. So it's hard to get in. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. So speaking out about concerts, the Fugees just canceled their tour very quietly in the last 24 hours. So funny. I went online last night as soon as I saw that And I noticed that they were supposed to start their tour in Tampa here in Florida.
Tampa.
The ticket sales were $21. How weird is that?
That's not a good sign.
No, not a good sign. So, you know, when I looked into this, I saw that, listen, they are famous for showing up to their concerts late. Sometimes they've canceled them in the past. Their fans stopped showing love. And I think that's really, you know, showing in the lack of ticket sales. So yeah. Also, you know, what I'm hearing from talking to some people when I asked about it, stars really don't like to tour anymore. They get shit thrown at their head. They get injured. There's a lot of safety issues in general with them. And then with these terrorist attacks going on, all the way back to Las Vegas when we had that awful gun attack on people that I think killed like 50 people or something. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But we already saw this year, J-Lo, she canceled her show for low ticket sales. So, you know, but then again, listen, I'm looking at tickets to get my daughter to go see Sabrina Carpenter. I know like one song. Tickets, not even great tickets, start at $750. So
what?
Oh, yeah.
I would see Sabrina Carpenter, but not for that. Look, Lauryn Hill, I'm not shocked about this. Lauryn Hill has had a reputation for, and I'm talking for years, like a decade of being, it's like a Madonna thing where she's hours and hours late for shows. Sometimes she doesn't show up at all. That's happened in the past. I have some friends that are diehard fans, and the Fugees were my, you know, childhood. I loved their what was the album that was so famous? Miseducation or something.
Yeah, it was Miseducation of Lauryn Hill or something.
Yeah. I mean, they're unbelievably talented, but we're seeing this a lot. J-Lo, Black Keys, I think they also canceled. I went to Justin Timberlake and honey, the seats were not sold out. And those tickets, I mean, there were some pricey ones, but you could get some really cheap. So
yeah.
I think, look, I mean, we know this, right? We talk a little politics on our show. The economy is a lot shittier than what they're making it out to be. I mean, money is tight. Like the inflation, if you have two kids, three kids, people aren't taking their kids to an experience where it's going to be $2,000, $3,000. Even think about, you know, going to the Fugees to a parent's, like, you know, you've got kids that you've got to feed. I mean, are you going to spend $500 now for tickets and then go out to eat? I mean, it's not like 8 years ago where you could get a decent ticket, $120, $130, $80 experience. I mean, all right. These people want.
And getting to these locations are not easy anymore either. I mean, they're kind of in all these places in some outskirts. And even if I was going to go to a show in Miami, you have to either drive and the parking is terrible, or you have to take an Uber, which can be hundreds of dollars. And, you know, there's all sorts of problems with it. Yeah. So
Nicki Minaj, Chris Brown, Taylor Swift are the biggest ones, and Beyonce that actually sell out all the time. And I really want to go see Breezy, but I don't know. Then apparently now he's being sued for $50 million for like beating up some concert goer. So I'm like, ugh.
Well, there you go. Another he's problem. At the beating concert. Yeah. What is that? I saw a couple other people were arrested, like Nelly, or I shouldn't talk because I don't know exactly who, but a couple, George, maybe you'll tell us, something with Chris Brown. There was some sort of issue.
Well, anyway. Nelly was allegedly arrested yesterday for ecstasy, but now his attorney is coming out and saying it's not true. We're going to, you know, the truth will come out. So I don't know.
Okay, you want my prediction on that?
His
it
eyes.
Wasn't ecstasy. It was, he was taking like ecstasy or MDMA for PTSD. That's the new hot thing.
Oh, okay.
I bet you that's what they will say.
He looked crazy lit up in that photo, in that mugshot. And then the other one is, did you see Michael Jordan's son, Marcus Jordan,
no,
allegedly snorting coke yesterday with a picture that came out?
Where?
Google that later. Oh my, honey.
No, it's such a shame because I like him. George, can you pull that up?
He has got the little coke spoon. He's doing it right up to him. The guy is like,
I got you. I'll find it.
The whole thing.
Somebody at a party took a photo and sold it?
It looks like he's at a resort. Like I think he's in Ibiza.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely doing coke. Holy shit. Look at this.
Right? Look at this.
Oh, wow.
Sir, excuse me. Excuse me.
No way.
No, what do you mean, no way?
Well, maybe he had something in his nose and he needed to get it out.
What? Look at that face.
Oh, yeah. Now he's very happy.
And he's got the coke sweats.
The coke.
Terrible. All right. Well, somebody just took a picture of him. Oh, my God. Wow. I wonder how much they sold that photo for. Okay. Interesting. All right. So we'll have to dig deeper into that conversation. Are he and his girlfriend broken up again?
Yeah. Larsa Pippen, they're supposedly not together. His new girlfriend was with Marcus Jordan when he was these pictures.
Who's his new girlfriend? Wow. Larsa must be just so irate.
I know. Not anybody I know.
He moved on pretty quickly. All right. A new another story in the news that I find fascinating. There are two astronauts stuck in outer space. They went up thinking they were going to be there for 1 week. It looks like they might not be able to get down until 2025, until around February of 2025. So they are trying to think of all scenarios to see how to get them back down. They went up in a Boeing. Boeing is having all sorts of issues these days, yeah. Right? So looks like they might have to be saved by Elon Musk's SpaceX. SpaceX is the Dragon launches in September. It's not going to make it back until February. So I think people are starting to get curious about the supplies that they went up there with. There's no shot they have enough supplies to get them through until February. So that'll be interesting. And obviously I see a movie in the future for this. And I hope I don't know if they're married or not, but this would be a great love story.
I mean, I would start having sex with the person that I was up there with, because why not? We don't know if we're going to, right? Wouldn't you? I'd be like, look, I know we're married to other people down on planet Earth, but let's just bone, because we don't know if we're getting out of this. So like, at least let's have fun sex.
Yeah. I don't know if they could have sex. How do you do that in zero gravity?
You'd have to like strap onto the person, right? Like,
or maybe that's fun. I don't know. As you know,
say strap together, I guess, right? It's a whole new meaning for strap on.
Yes, exactly. So
I would think you'd have to do that. I don't know. You know, this story is going to be interesting. It's sort of been a little low key under the radar. Like, oh, by the way, we've got two astronauts up there, yada, yada. And of course, SpaceX, Elon is their, you know, rival, right? Yeah. For I'm sure a lot of reasons. But I mean,
he may be saving the day. So
yeah, for these two Americans, they need to be calling his ass and be like, okay, can you launch earlier? What is going on? I mean, apparently this whole mission has been riddled with problems, to your point. I don't know who would trust a Boeing. Disaster.
It says they've had helium leaks and thruster failures preventing them from getting home. That would be terrifying, by the way.
Yeah. So like, let's see how this plays out. It seems like it's just beginning to get momentum. Does that mean some things will be intervened? But yeah, this is very scary.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Okay, now I want to get into a topic that I have covered on my show. Do I have the book here? I had a woman named Susan Hendricks, who was formerly at CNN and HLN. It's called Down the Hill. We actually are going to replay this episode on Sunday night and have it up. It's fascinating. She is a journalist who covered the murders and then got so into it that she stayed connected to the family, tried to help find out who did it, now goes to every single pretrial hearing, speaks to the family and to all the cops involved on a daily basis. I just spoke to her last night because I wanted to hear what was going on. But do you want to run people through that don't know what the story is? Do you want to tell them what it is?
Yeah. No, you're referring to the Delphi murders, right? In Delphi, yeah. Indiana, of the two young girls. This happened, oh my God, what was the year? I feel like it was
2017.
Thank you. 2017. Everybody remembers this. It made nationwide news. These two girls were walking on a walking path. It was also an old railroad path. And they both were murdered. But thankfully, they throughout, like right, like minutes before they were murdered, they'd Snapchatted pictures of each other. And then they had Snapchatted this man, and he was saying down the hill, right? That police were able to get this. But the image of what the guy looked like was very grainy. Anyhow, it's what's been fascinating about this is there's been very few leaks from the police department, the detectives, people that have been interviewed, but they did make an arrest a couple of years ago about from a guy that is their main suspect in jail. At one point, he was put in solitary confinement, and then he ended up confessing over 60 calls of confession to his wife, to his friend, honey, to his cellmate, anybody he could talk to. But his attorney is saying, well, he was mentally distressed, as anyone would be in solitary confinement. He didn't do it. These confessions need to be thrown out. And then the trial has started, which is why you're hearing about this. And there's been probably
It's pre-trial hearing. So the trial starts in October.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Pre-trial hearing. So that's why you're hearing about it. And what the pre-trial is revealing is that there is a section of law enforcement and investigating that believe that these girls were sacrificed for a pagan ritual. And in Indiana, near Delphi, there's kind of this known pagan group. And the way the girls' bodies were placed, these branches were placed over it. One investigator, no, she's not an investigator, but she's like a pagan ritual sacrifice expert. Who the fuck knows how do you get that job? Says there was an F in a tree next, you know, with blood, and that symbolizes a pagan ritual. Now, another detective who looks at it goes, it's not an F. It's like a droplet of blood. And blood doesn't work like paint. Like they would have the killers would have had to keep going back into like the girls' necks because their necks were cut, dip their finger in and keep making an F, you know, on the tree. There would have been DNA. And the other thing is there is zero DNA at this crime scene that they've collected thus far.
Well, that we know about.
You're right. Mm-hmm. The pre-trial that we know about that connects any of these alleged pagan individuals around Delphi to the murder. Right. But there is a gun casing of the guy. I want to bring up his name because he's currently in jail.
And Richard Allen.
Richard Allen. There is a gun, a bullet from Richard Allen's gun that was retrieved at the crime scene.
You said it first, correct. The casing, like when they cock it. So people are listening. I want them to understand this. There's a difference. There wasn't a bullet found. It was from when you cock the gun back, a casing will fall out. So they did find that.
So they found that.
Right.
So I'm curious what this woman who is now, like, who does she think did it?
Okay. Let me give you everything. I spent probably 4 hours yesterday doing my own investigative research. I spoke for an hour on the phone to Susan Hendricks, who was at the pretrial hearing. I'm going to tell you everything she said. But also, I spoke to for hours and hours, texting back and forth with a guy who has a completely different version of what happened. Now, he's known for his conspiracy theories, thinking that, you know, he does have evidence. He was sending me pictures. He truly believes what he says is correct. And the more he talks, I get it. And I actually brought up a lot of his facts to Susan last night on the phone, and she was starting to understand too. So let me tell you both things. Okay. So just to give a little more clarity to what you're talking about, the girls, as you said, they were walking on February 13th around 1:30 in the afternoon. They went for a walk on a bridge called High Bridge. They were in Indiana, and it was a little, you know, colder day. And they were walking, and the girls took out one of the girls, I believe it was Abby, was really into crime. So, you know, Susan was telling me that her family said she was studying stuff like this. So they get the feeling that because she took out her phone and videotaped the guy for a second, she thought that maybe they were thinking, oh, let me take a video of this weird guy and I'm going to show my grandpa when I get back, like this weird dude we saw. Or maybe they felt in danger. Either way, when the cops found their body, they found a video. We don't know actually how long the video is because we've seen snippets. There could be more because, as you said, they haven't shared a lot of information. more information just came out in this pretrial hearing a couple of days ago. But from what the video shows, it's the man, George, can you put up the picture? They call him Bridge Guy. Bridge Guy, who is now, they say is Richard Allen, who they arrested, was walking along the bridge. They have audio. This is him right here. If you're watching, they have audio of him saying, "Down the hill, girls." And then they believe the girls went down the hill. And now the way that the bodies were found, again, a lot of people didn't know this until the pretrial hearing. So Susan was shocked about all the stuff that came out. One of the girls was completely naked. The other girl had the second girl's clothes on. So she was dressed in the wrong clothes. So they believe that this was motivated by a sexual crime. They do believe that they found a lot of blood. The phone went off. There was no communication with the phone in the afternoon. At 4:30 in the morning, 4:15, I might be getting the time wrong. In the morning, the phone pinged on again and about 15 messages came through. So the theory there is that the girls' bodies were moved. Okay, so here's the thing. George just put up a little video of where the bodies were. Supposedly they were found down the hill with the gun. So they're saying they're believing that they were intimidated by this man, Bridge Guy, who said, "Girls, get down the hill," essentially, cock the gun back. If you're 12 and 13 years old, I think you would freeze. You would do, you know, of course, you'd go. Followed him down the hill or went down the hill. He followed. The people in prison, you know, the people involved in this case are saying, the prosecutors, I guess, are essentially saying Richard Allen worked alone. He, you know, sexually assaulted the girls. We don't know a lot about the sexual assault, but we do know one was naked, one was in the other clothing. And the girls were found. We did not know how they were found killed until this pretrial hearing. They were both killed with a box cutter. Now, the interesting thing about that is that Richard Allen, when he did admit in prison, all those, he admitted to his own wife 5 times that he killed her. And he said he used a box cutter. No one had talked about a box cutter until at the pretrial hearing where they admitted that that is how they were found. Now, the other things that went on in the pretrial hearing, that the defense is trying to prove a third party, involvement, meaning their defense, it looks like, is going to be, well, listen, you got to bring in this stuff about the pagan rituals. You got to bring in this stuff about there might be a third party. It's not just us. So they went and had, like you said, all these interviews with people, that this one woman came up. But Susan says she was quickly, what's the word when you discredit her? Because at the end, they said, well, isn't every ritual crime individual and it only happens once? And she said, well, yes, that's true. And she couldn't answer a lot of things. So they don't think that'll go very far.
And by the way, the alleged pagan expert basically said this exact same scenario for a court TV crime like 4 years ago. So the prosecution went back and found her court TV interview where essentially everything she alleged happened in this, like blood things she'd already said for this other case. And they're like, yes, of course, like, it could be a pagan, you know, thing. But anyway, I feel like however they framed it, they were like, there's no way. She'd already kind of pre-planned what she thought.
Right. Happened. So there's all these crazy things. So on another note, you know, there was a woman that came in during the pretrial testimony saying that she is the defense's therapist, but she was just, you know, she was saying that everything that's been going on in jail has been abusive and traumatic to Richard Allen. He needs to be moved. He's in jail, prison right now. They want him to be moved out to jail. I guess because he's innocent until proven guilty. So he's not supposed to be in this high, you know,
security.
And he's getting, abused. So they say he's gone nuts. And that's why he admitted to his wife or said to his wife that he killed her. He didn't really mean it, but that he had lost his mind because of the way he was getting, treated in prison. So then the prosecution went and, did their cross-examination and said, aren't you a fan of true crime? She said, yeah. Did you know about this case beforehand? Yes. Did you ask to be Richard Allen's therapist? Yes. Okay. So you kind of discredit your whole situation. Yeah. So this town, I'll be honest with you, from everyone I've spoken to, listen, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but I'm going to say it. It's a lot of low IQ people. It's a lot of not highly educated people with a huge drug problem. Everyone is on drugs there. If you see these people, talk to people, everyone's a total mess. So you're not getting, like, you know, Mark Garagos as the, you know, one of the
first of all, Mark Garagos, we could argue about, because Mark Garagos is not the most amazing attorney that he alleges that he is. I don't know. I always find that I hate blanket statements like that, because I feel like they've done a lot of good police work on this. They've been very close about, I mean, not everybody there can be on drugs and, like, you know.
No, wait, so I don't agree though, Sarah, because let me tell you, this source I have says that they've completely gotten it wrong. And by the way, Susan Hendricks, even though she likes the cops, believes that a lot of stuff has been messed up. So there was all sorts of different angles and things, and they are now bringing in these three kids that they think might have done the satanic ritual, the pagan ritual. But no one's talking about a guy named Ron Logan. Ron Logan is a big figure in this crime. Ron Logan is the guy who owned the property that this all happened on. So the guy, and he's going to remain nameless, my source, says that Ron Logan was the accomplice, and Richard Allen is not the bridge guy. Ron Logan is. He supplied me with pictures and videos of Ron Logan, what he looks like, that same outfit. Susan says, if you come to Indiana with me, everyone is a little overweight. Everyone wears that same blue jacket and everyone has a hat. So everyone kind of looks alike. This source swears that bridge guy up and down, they've gotten it wrong. It's Ron Logan. They did this together. They were accomplices. And what happened was, here's his version.
Ron Logan and Richard Allen?
And Richard Allen.
Okay. All right.
He believes that it was Ron Logan, the owner of the property, walking along High Bridge. This is, if you're watching right now, it's the man with the mustache. He was walking along High Bridge with, their motivation was sexual. They planned on, you know, they wanted to get some girls that day and bring them back to the house. So they believe, the source believes Ron Logan got the girls, brought them back to the house, did whatever happened at the house, because again, you don't hear anything. The phones are off. There's no service. Then something happens. There was a fight that ensued because you see all sorts of marks on one girl, not necessarily the other. One really chose to fight back. One was bigger than the other. And their both throats were cut in two totally different ways. So his version is that each man cut a woman's throat separately, that there wasn't one guy who cut both girls' throats. So Ron cut one, Richard cut the other. And then they were moved back at about 4:30 in the morning, the next morning, to the place that they were found. There was no satanic ritual, that they were placed there. And that's what happened. This source also says that whoever was clothed, I think it was Libby that was clothed in Abby's clothing. Again, I might be getting that wrong. Died, you know, they were able to tell how they died. So the girl that was clothed was still alive before she was dead. So, yeah, so that's a lot of information.
But then the other thing is the guy that they is dead, right? One of the guys is dead.
Ron Logan is dead. He died of COVID in 2022. So that's also what's very interesting, because my question was, well, why wouldn't Richard Allen just implicate him? Why wouldn't he say, listen, I'll make a plea deal. I didn't kill them. I didn't sexually assault them, but I watched Ron do it. I was there and he could take a lesser plea, but he hasn't implicated him. Instead, they're implicating the pagan ritual people as a third party. So that'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, he admitted to his wife and to his stepson, Richard Allen, that he murdered them. They are on the prosecution's witness list. No one is allowed to speak to them. So it'll be interesting to see if they come out and say, yeah, he admitted it to me, or if they change their story. His wife has been in court with him. She's on his side. She, you know, is being subpoenaed to have to testify. So she doesn't want to. So all these things are very interesting. So I don't know, you know, I asked Susan point blank, do you think there's a chance Richard Allen is not the killer? She said, there is a chance. I said, do you think it could be Ron Logan completely by himself? She's like, I didn't want to think so, but there is a chance that they did it together. She's like, there was no evidence to tie Richard Logan. And the police did such a terrible job because they interviewed Richard Allen and they let him go for almost 5 years. He was arrested in 2022 and they had spoken to him in 2017. So there's all sorts of things and blunders and they've messed up things. So
but that happens often, like you can interview somebody, but you have to have evidence. You have to have something to actually
wrong. They put his name wrong. They said his name was Richard Paul or something. It's supposed to be Richard Allen. He said, I was on the bridge at the time the girls were. Somebody questioned him and let him go that same day, and he was never questioned again. So it's very, you know, it wasn't done the right way. But I said to Susan, I wonder if this is going to be similar to the Casey Anthony story, where we all think we know what we're talking about, and then the defense takes the stand, or they start with their opening argument, and it's completely different than what we thought. Remember when that happened with Casey Anthony? We had no idea she was going to say, okay, we knew the child was dead. My father sexually assaulted me and sexually assaulted my daughter. And so I put her in a sack and put her a mile down the road because I didn't want anyone to know. What that was, I remember when that happened.
Her daughter. I mean, she had a great defense, and you've got to prove, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt. So that's, you know, all they've got to create is enough doubt for those jurors to go, well, did he do it? But it sounds like Susan's saying that, okay, whether Richard Allen slashed the throats. I mean, Richard Allen, it sounds like, is guilty of something, whether it's helping move the bodies, whether it's actually murdering them, whether it's sexually assaulting them. So I'd be curious, like, if they've charged him with multiple different things, because maybe it's not like cold-blooded murder, you know, premeditated homicide they get him on, but do they get him on something else that he's, that he was involved? But it sounds like Susan thinks he was involved, just doesn't know who the actual like killer was. Rachel has to, she's doing something. But anyway, this story, you know, look, those two girls completely deserve absolute justice, and hopefully they get it. And hopefully the police work is really good. I'm hoping, but Susan's more of the expert. I'm hoping they've been taking their time over the years because they've been meticulously building a case that they really know about. So we'll see.
I agree. All right. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. I might be having issues with my audio.
Yeah.
My dog just ate the audio.
What?
My dog just, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, but you're like, your microphone's gone. Like you're talking through a, oh my God, did he eat the, he ate through your cable?
Through the cable. Can you hear me well enough, or do I need to switch my audio?
Let's see.
It'll be good. Unless you got a pair of AirPods at home.
I don't, but I could switch it to the MacBook Pro. Should I do that?
Yeah, I think it already is.
No. Oh, yes, it is. You're right. Okay, anyways, you guys. So this is what happens when you do live TV. okay, moving right along. Let's talk about our new VP candidate. Are you excited for Tim Walz?
Am I excited? Well, first of all, you and I made these big predictions. I mean, we held ourselves to the fire last week. I said it was going to be Beshear from Kentucky, way off. I don't even think he ended up being the top three. I think it was Josh Shapiro, who you picked, right? Didn't you pick Shapiro?
Yeah,
Mark Kelly, and then Walz. So the Republicans think this is a great sign. Lot of debate already happening about Tim Walz's military record. We'll talk about that. His record in Minnesota, because he's the governor of Minnesota. And then the Democrats think this is a great pick for her because he's going to let her shine. He has a pretty good record, and he is the very all-American. He's a dad. He's served in the military. He's got a teacher's background. The wife is a teacher. They're very just working class people. So a lot of Democrats feel like, hey, what a great victory in this person.
Yeah, he truly reads as like your kind of weird uncle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's so kind of silly and goofy. And I think I texted you this the other night. The way he claps and high fives his wife and Kamala is kind of cringy to me, but I kind of love it at the same time. Cause they read as like real people. You know what I mean? It's like they seem like real people and nice people. And you look at the other side and it doesn't seem that way, kind of. I don't know. It just reads, I think people are very excited about this.
Well, so, and you know, Josh Shapiro, who we both liked, very popular governor of Pennsylvania, apparently was out for a couple reasons. Eventually it became mutual, is what some sources, including David Axelrod, who's longtime Democratic strategist and other things. He says it was mutual. And then there's an article I read that Shapiro makes no bones about wanting to be the leader, like that he's the guy, he comes in, he's got big opinions. And so I get why she wouldn't want him, right? Because it's hard to run a country if you're competing, if your VP is like, also, if you're also trying to manage his.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it ended up kind of being mutual. Shapiro makes no bones about the fact he does want to run for president someday. So anyway, Walz seems like he's going to let her lead. Has a good track record, fairly good track record, although quite debatable, but we can get into that. So,
okay. So I think it'll be interesting because, so I was watching Chris Cuomo last night, who I love.
Okay.
And he had Bill Riley on, which was very interesting. And Bill Riley was basically said, listen.
Bill O'Reilly or Bill, I don't know who's
sorry, Bill O'Reilly. Yes.
Bill O'Reilly. Longtime Fox commentator.
Yes. Okay. So he said Kamala really needed Pennsylvania and it was, you know, she should have picked him. However, he screwed up in his meeting with her or not screwed up. I mean, he went into the meeting being overly aggressive, saying what he wanted. And Bill O'Reilly's take on this is that Kamala is very insecure and he's like, she couldn't handle it. She didn't want that kind of person leading with her. And he was showboating and basically he kind of talked her out of letting him be the VP pick. But I think he really wants to be president. So I am predicting that, you know, next election, he will be running against her. Also, people had thought it might be about faith. They thought it might be about his stance on Israel. So these were all things that were debated last night. But listen, I like him. And I think he showed a lot of support for the two of them. And he's trying to get his state on board. So I think it's fine.
Yeah. Look, I still think the Republicans have a bit of an issue. You know, they do, right? J.D. Vance has kind of had a lackluster couple weeks. We're sort of, news cycle moves quickly. So now everybody's over the whole single cat lady thing, right? We've moved on. So, but they still have a woman issue. Like, I'm going to be interested to see if Walz brings out his wife. Like, does she start campaigning a lot more? Does she get really behind it? You know, we know Ivanka Trump is out. She said she's going to sit this one out. So she's not going to be a female voice. I think they need that. Mm-hmm. And, but J.D. Vance is now starting his campaign anyway to say that, you know, we really need to question Walz's military career. After 24 years, he basically retired right before his National Guard troop was going to be deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan in like 2004, 2005. And he knew that was coming and he did it because he didn't want to go to war. And then he ends up running for Congress at that time. So that's debatable. A lot of people, you know, J.D. Vance or Walz's team has come out and said, look, he served 24 years. Unbelievable. He should be honored just like J.D. Vance is, who is also a vet. And I don't know. You know, again, the Republicans have to. I'm not sure why they aren't hammering the fact all the time of all the mistakes the Democrats made with COVID, these vaccine mandates that were ridiculous, the masking, the mandated masking, closing of schools forever, which we're seeing kids having so many issues still.
Their problem is they don't touch on the facts. They don't touch on the policy. They don't argue about things that they could actually win on.
Correct. You can't get Trump to stay focused
about whether Kamala is black or not. I mean, correct. It's just dumb conversation, you know? Yeah. I think that really hurts them. I think they have to get on the ball of like talking about policy. That's the other thing that I saw a lot on Cuomo last night, that a lot of people were complaining that, listen, she's been in there 17 days now, maybe it's 18 today. And she has not talked about her policy. They don't know what her policy is. So we got to get out of this honeymoon phase and find out what she's all about.
You can't get her to do an interview. I mean, that's, if I were J.D. Vance, I'd have my wife out there and I'd be saying, why can't, if she's the leader of our country, why can't she sit and do an interview? You can't get her to do one.
Right.
A lot of people have a lot of theories.
I requested her on the show.
What's that?
I requested her on the show.
Good. Get her on.
Not that she ever would, but why not ask, you know?
No. But, you know, here's some things that Walz likes. You already know this. One of the things he did, which I do think is terrific and he should be commended for, is a universal breakfast and lunch program for low-income kids in the state of Minnesota. That means every single child every day can go and get breakfast and lunch for free. Now that's something that absolutely kids that can't afford it are in danger at home. They should have that safety at school. So I absolutely love that. He's done a lot with the unions and also just raising better work environment, better pay, longer leave for people with sick leave issues. So he's really advocated for the working class person. Now his whole, environmental, this is where I need somebody that's a real political expert to explain this to me. But, you know, a lot of people feel like he's basically now on the California train, right? Where they're making all these mandates about get an electric car. Meanwhile, they always fail to address, like, aren't our electrical grids like overrun? Here in California, we had rolling outages, we have them less. So now you want us to all purchase these vehicles that we're all going to plug in. Does this make any sense to anyone? He's right. Apparently doing this. But then the other thing he did was Walz did in Minnesota was like banned this like carbon monoxide, a lot of these things that are in the companies manufacturers produce. But then he said, okay, we're going to allow trash burning and like some other thing, like more wood fires. And people are like, wait a minute, you're basically, okay, well then you're doing the same thing. So I'd love somebody to explain to us really what these environmental things, like, are they really helping or is this a bait and switch?
Right. I agree with you. But I think in terms of like, I'm looking at what people are saying are the pros and cons. The pro of him is his Midwestern appeal, because I think people really like that. Mm-hmm. I loved when they were talking a lot. They kept bringing up that he was a coach. Now, I think that's really relatable to middle America. You know, they love that he builds people up. I think it's a good personality trait. Like you said, executive experience serving as governor. He's been around for a really long time. The military background, the education focus, the broad political experience and his labor support. But the cons were, a big one was the regional limitation. While his Midwestern appeal is a strength, it might be a limitation if the ticket needs broader national diversity, particularly from other critical regions like the South or West Coast. So I think that's an issue. Name recognition, people are like, who the hell's that? I was like, who the hell's that? Remember when we were doing our predictions, we kind of went through his name. He was number four on the list. I didn't even remember I said his name. Like we went right over him.
Yeah.
Policy controversies. He's been very controversial in how he handled COVID-19. And it could be used against him, I think. And then political dynamics. Let's see what else they said. They said Republicans are saying he's a perceived safe choice. But again, in watching what I saw last night on Cuomo, people are saying that they would never have picked him, but whatever happened, it works. So we'll see what happens. Well, once they start getting into the policies, we will see if they make any sense. But they do have chemistry. They don't look like they would have chemistry, but they do.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see debates, right? These debates are kind of up in the air. Let's see what JD Vance and Walz are like toe to toe, right? Let's see. I think that's going to be.
I cannot wait for those.
I don't think Kamala wants to debate Trump. I don't. I just, Trump is very hard to debate. She says she does, but I think once you're up there, I mean, her weakness is the laughing, the tee hee heeing, and she'd have to come real strong, but we'll see. We'll see if they'll even do it.
I think she could curtail the laughing. I think she will rise to the occasion. I think she wants to show people who she is and that she could take him on. So we'll see. I love that we always disagree on stuff.
Me too. I think that's the best part. I want to see it. I don't know if we're going to see it, but all the polls now are favoring Walz or, you know, Kamala Harris and Walz. So we will see. I don't know. We'll see. Right. Well, I mean,
we'll see. Yeah. All right, before we go, guys, we want to tell you how to enter our Eagles at the Sphere contest. Why don't you tell them?
Okay. So here's out. You're going to be seeing this on our social media and here on the podcast over the next month. But all you have to do to win this exclusive experience is you are going to go to Misunderstood Podcast on Apple and you are going to leave a review. It is so simple to leave a review. You're going to be doing it on Misunderstood and the Sarah Fraser Show. So to be entered, you have to leave us both an Apple review. And within the review, whether it's the subject line or the body of your review, you need to say, Rachel and Sarah. I love listening to Rachel and Sarah. My favorite thing is Sarah and Rachel talking about true crime, whatever it is. Go to our shows, hit 5 stars. Tell us what you love about the show.
Subscribe. You also have to subscribe. So yes. Two things. You got to write a review on both shows. The show is The Sarah Fraser Show and Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Those are the two shows. On Apple, you have to subscribe. You have to write a review using both of our names, Sarah and Rachel. Anything else? Oh, if you want to tell friends about it, make sure you go into our DMs and let us know who you have, suggested to do this to, so we see how many people actually subscribed and did what they were supposed to do. We will be, okay, so you get one chance to enter by doing two things. We will be looking. You can enter a couple times through your kids, through your husband, you know, any family members you want to go with. So make sure you do those two things. We will be announcing the two winners, I guess, or the winner and their plus one on September 6th at 12:45 Eastern on the Sarah Fraser Show and Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel podcast live on Rumble at that hour. And then they will both go up on our feeds later on in the day.
Hey, girl.
If you have any questions, feel free to DM us. What is your?
The Sarah Fraser Show. You can find me everywhere. But DM me on IG. It's usually the easiest. But I'm on Facebook. I'm on TikTok. DM me anywhere.
And you could DM me. Mine is Rachel Yucatel NYC. I do read my DMs, and I will get back to you. So, we're really excited about this. You guys, if you haven't been to the Sphere, I haven't either. We hear it's unbelievable. The Eagles are unbelievable. So it's going to be a once in a lifetime. And the tickets are not cheap, you guys. So, and also we'll be telling you more about the details later, but like you can, within reason, you could pick a certain day that coordinates with when you want to travel there. But the concert runs September, October, and November, I believe. So that's the time frame. You can Google it, but we hope that you sign up. Again, don't forget, write a review, give us 5 stars on both shows, and subscribe to both shows.
Yes. All right. Sounds great. Okay. We have a whole show planned for next week too. We need to talk about.
And you guys, we're moving our shows, just so you know. The live show on Rumble is going to be Fridays now at 12:45 Eastern, and it'll go on both of our feeds Friday afternoon or evening. So
love. Okay. Sounds great, girl. We'll see you next week.
So much fun.
Bye. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled M-I-S-S, understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.
Are we off the-